And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast. Growlin, Paul Ener Jr. of The Athletic here with you, and it's a wild card Thursday, and that means we are bringing in our next co-host, special guest. I'm excited for this one because we have Kelsey Conway, the Cincinnati Inquirer of the perfectly named Bengals Beat podcast, by the way.
Did you have something to do with that?
I might have said, could we have the simplest podcast name possible when we were doing one back in the day? And it was like, hey, Bengals Beat, that sounds good. I think people will know what it's about. But Kelsey, what's up? How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm honored to be on here. This is my first appearance, and I'm a big fan of your podcast. So
well, you were at the 50 West event. So you were, but that was sort of like a bit of a boondoggle, really, more than anything.
You know what we should start doing? We should start like live streaming that in terms of just when Trags makes his pick. So then at times like this, we can circle the wagons back and remember that Trags said the Bengals were going 15-2 and yes, just how ludicrous that was at the time. But it's weird, right? Like we went from being like, okay, well, Bengals might not win another game to now you're like, maybe we are going back to cover a team that's going to the playoffs. You just never know. So it's been fun.
The last couple of years have almost, well, I shouldn't say the last couple of years. Last year felt predictable. It felt like it was following what you might thought would happen, and it had kind of an inevitability to it, even though it was a very rare season. This year was the reminder that you just never quite know what to expect in the NFL. And that's keep that in mind as everybody thinks they know what's going to happen. Zach Taylor was talking a little bit about it yesterday, about every season is really ends up being so different. Even as much as you think you want it to be a certain way, you end up having to do so many different things. And this is just kind of, you know, the latest example of it. None of us could have seen the storylines that have happened this year coming.
No, and I feel like this year, I mean, I'm only basing this off of 3 years of covering the Bengals now, but it just seems like it's just always been something, whether you go back to when they lost in the AFC championship game to then all your conversations turned out about the contract, Joe Burrow's contract. Then we made it through that, and then he gets hurt. And then now it's all about the calf. And then now his calf comes back. He gets hurt again. And then we're talking about that again. And then it's, then they look terrible. And then here comes Shake Browning. And he, you know, his first game wasn't great. And it's just, there hasn't been a lack of anything for us to talk about, report on, and joke about with each other in the media room.
Well, after the, you know, the most ridiculous training camp ever, we should have known that this season was coming, which was, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard during training camp than we did through trying to get ourselves through that month of just,
I don't think I've laughed as hard as I have in the last 3 months, like, period.
Yeah.
Like,
it's been a great year. It's been a great year in the media room. I hope that that's come across to people that have, listened to all of our podcasts and followed our coverage. And I hope everybody is, reading Kelsey and listening to the Bengals Beat podcast, everything she's doing, it's awesome stuff. Great episode with Emma Kelly that was up last week on dealing with stillbirth and IVF and all of that stuff. Ryan Kelly's wife, it was just an awesome episode and really insight into these people behind. That was great stuff, Kelsey. Kudos on that.
Thank you. I was like really proud of myself because sometimes I can be emotional, but I kept it together and she was crying right next to me. And I'm like, Kelsey, looking up, like, you can't become emotional too. But it was one of those. And I know you've had so many in your careers where it was probably for me, like, the most emotional interview ever. And you just think about, like, wow, women are pretty incredible. And yes, the Kelly family, they were awesome. And Yes, I was really glad I got to do that. So if you're a woman listening to this podcast and you know someone that is dealing with stillbirth, IVF, anything like that, check it out, because I think it can help a lot of people.
And you know, it's you know that it's going to be a great interview when, like, the beginning of it is like, both people saying, I feel like I've known you forever, just from the, like, the lead up of getting ready to go, which is kind of how it starts. And you know, at that point, you're going to get sort of the real story about real life. And that's part, you know, one of the best parts of that. Oh, we can also find you looking directly up at Aziz Bandego on ESPN broadcast doing sideline there. It's just, did we have a stool for you last time? I felt bad the first time where it really, he's so tall, you know, it's just like, it's an impossible ask. And you look like you're looking directly up into the sun at him.
Well, and then the camera's like trying to figure out like who they should focus on. Yeah. And it's like looking at, like, it's a whole situation, but really, like, I should bring like an Apple box to the court for every game, because there's a high probability that's going to be him off after every game, because he's been playing pretty good. But yeah, that's been fun. So
would Wes Miller be insulted when you didn't bring the Apple box out to talk to him though?
Well, that would require Wes to probably think a little bit more about the interviews than he does, because I'm glad that he does it. But I mean, if you saw our interview last week, said, you know, what's going to be your message to the team? You're up three. It's been a really physical game to win the second half. And he goes, we got to play better, and storms off. And I'm like, all right. Wow. Okay. Great. Yeah. So I don't think he's thinking too much about if I have a box or whatever. I think he's like, let me just do this interview with her so I can get in and go talk to my team.
I feel like that's the approach of most coaches, no matter what the situation is. I want to quickly tick through some news for the Saturday at one. Saturday at one. Congrats to us on having our weekend wide open. Nick Mullins will be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. Whatever that does for you, I don't know if that's moving the needle much, but the Vikings obviously were struggling after their 3-0 victory last week. Mullins gave them the three, so I guess they figured let's go with that. But he will have Justin Jefferson, it sounds like, playing, and so that could help any quarterback, where you could always just say, you know what, throw it up to Justin Jefferson and see what happens. Always seems like a good method. So are we buying the Mullins to Jefferson bump for this Minnesota offense?
No, I just think that they don't know what to do. And now I think we're starting to grab at, you know, maybe this guy can help us. It almost gives, like, not similar to Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian situation in New York, where it's just like we're making a change for the sake of making a change. But based off the way this season's gone, you know, it's hard to say. It's not. Like, you can't really predict, but I think it's kind of been surprising how Josh Dobbs has flamed out, just because of how much we hyped him up for a couple of weeks. But I think it's going to be, you know, more of the same, but it's so hard to predict how the Bengals defense is going to play. So I want to sit here and tell you, I think maybe they might struggle to put up points, but then I don't want people to send me clips of myself next week when, if they score like 21 or more than that points, to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm not buying that he's going to really make that much of a difference.
Right. I want to dig a little bit more into the defense here in a second, but before I do that, I have two talking points from some of the interviews that we've done this week. One was, Zach Taylor if you've ever heard him, we play some of his press conference clips here. You've heard them before. Or you've watched him, streamed them live. Every answer, typically, he will be very loquacious, right? He likes to talk things out up there. He's very well spoken, all those things. Except when you ask him about Brian Flores. And it sparked our.
This was spicy.
I know. It was every. I don't think his name, he was asked maybe three questions where Brian Flores' name was used, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't think an answer was longer than a sentence, maybe, to each one. And I don't think he said his name specifically. I'd have to go back and check that. It was a he or them. And it sparked I had forgotten. I can't believe I had forgotten that in 2020, Brian Flores charged across the field at Zach Taylor after that game where receiver Mike Thomas blew up the punt returner twice and there was a brawl and the Bengals offensive lineman decided not to be involved in it. And it was a whole thing. But the big part of that was Flores charging after the coach. It feels like that is not forgotten.
Well, so I'm so glad that you brought this up. And I feel like this is why you wanted me to be on the podcast without knowing me this week, because I wasn't covering the Bengals then. So yeah. I had no idea. And last week I asked Zach about Shane Steichen, glowing. Oh, I think he's a great offensive mind. You know, really couldn't have spoken. I followed him around his career. Couldn't have spoken more highly about him. And then I asked Zach about Brian Flores. And I always like to ask coaches that because I feel like it helps give some good quotes when you're trying to do your preview pieces of like what people should expect of that team. And I had no idea. So I was just like I always do, you know, what do you think about the way Brian Flores has, you know, orchestrated this defense? And it was very short. And then Jay Morrison follows up with another good question. And I didn't even think anything of it. And then we get in the media room and Jay's like, you think he hasn't forgotten? I'm like, oh my gosh. And then you go back through and you read the transcripts and you're like, Zach never does that. So yeah, it's added a level of excitement to this game on Saturday.
Well, you know what though? Here's the thing. Of course it does. Of course he hasn't forgotten. I don't know. Have you ever been attacked before? Like at your workplace or really anywhere? Like I remember, look, I was in like fourth grade and a younger kid like tried to fight me at the bus stop. And I remember him. Okay. I remember what happened. I can close my eyes right now and see that incident clearly. You don't think that playing Brian Flores, another head coach who charged across the field at you 3 years ago, isn't in the back of his head? These guys, you know, from Burrow on up through the coaching staff are not afraid to be have very clear grudges and memories and be petty. It's part of what drives a lot of them. And so you better believe that is fresh in the mind.
But I do have a question for you. Why do you think – and maybe it was because none of us asked Zach about it last year when Brian Flores was on the Pittsburgh staff, but it's not the first time that Zach's gone up against Brian Flores. Do you think it's different because it's Flores's defense, whereas in Pittsburgh, he was just an assistant coach?
Well, I don't know that we asked about, I mean, he was, cause he wasn't the coordinator. He was kind of helping out. It was Terrell Austin's defense there. And now he, I mean, Brian Flores has become a story, and rightfully so. The Minnesota defense is incredible. I mean, they've been the best defense in football for 2 months now. And so I think the fact that we're specifically asking about this person who attacked you at your workplace, okay, is like one of those where, okay, I'm not going to sit here and glowingly talk about this person. And I get it. I don't think that, I'm still thinking, if I ever see the person that went after me at the bus stop, like, we're not going to like say have pleasantries. I'm not going to be like, wasn't that cool? All right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that to me, that's just what it is. Another thing that came up that I wanted to bring up here. I really enjoyed Jake Browning on Tuesday night. I guess it was, I thought it was I kind of can't get enough of Jake Browning.
Same.
It's just, he's insanely refreshing. His story has been awesome. And this time he's kind of sick of talking about himself. And I love it. How many times has this guy had to sit here like and talk and answer questions about himself? And I've never felt that more. Like, I get it.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel about myself. I'm not comparing myself to Jake Browning, but it was funny. I was talking about it with my sister, and my sister doesn't live in Ohio. She lives in Maryland, and she doesn't follow football closely, but she's like, Jake, whatever his last name, still playing for the Bengals. And I'm like, yes, Jake Browning is still playing, Lindsay. And, I was like, you know, it was funny. He said something the other day, and I was like, you know, how people can like send you memes on Instagram that like you've responded and you're like, that's me. Like the meme like tells the story of how you're feeling. Like, I need that Jake Browning meme when he's like, I don't really have an opinion about a lot of stuff. I'm like, that's me, because people will like ask me things and I don't know. I feel like I'm a pretty basic, generic person. Like I love really into sports and, you know, pop culture and that my family and like that's about it. Like I don't have like I don't sit at night with all these like deep thoughts. And so I like felt seen when Jake said that. And it's similar to what you're just saying, where it's like he's just like a breath of fresh air. And I feel like he's so relatable. And that's what just makes this story so fun. And that's what I've been thinking about the last couple of days. And I actually said it to Jason Williams, the Cincinnati.com columnist. And he kind of did a column that focuses a little bit more on it. But like it's almost been, and you went from even covering the team where everything, it just felt like tense because there were so much expectations about this team. And then like when they weren't playing well, it was like it was just seen on everybody's face. It's like, I wonder if Bengals fans, and I'd love your feedback, but like, are you having just so much fun watching this? Because he's out there playing loose and free, and the team has embodied him. And it's like, he's doing awesome things. And I feel like, as a fan, you know, this must be like a really fun time. And you never thought Joe Burrow going down, and I'm not saying that Joe Burrow going down is fun, but from what it's turned out to be, like, this is fun. It's fun to cover him.
I have said this a couple of times now. This is why I love sports. This is why you love sports in general. Like when you're a kid, the surprising fun is the best kind. It's what made this city fall in love with the 21 Bengals. I mean, was that they were surprising. They were no you started to meet these people and you started to know their stories and this is why I love covering sports, is because of stories like this that are the guy who did everything right and hoped for the chance and kept investing in himself, knowing that there's a chance it might never happen, or if it did, he might not be any good, and he just flame out. And but he had this dream, right? And he just kept following it. And now you're watching him like breathe real life into a team that had Joe Burrow. I mean, it's insane. And he's been totally anonymous forever, and now I was talking with Bengals PR head Emily Parker, because I'm writing kind of more about the background of Jake Browning's rise to fame, I guess. And I was like, let's go through everything that he's had to do the last couple of weeks. And it's like, okay, on-field interviews with Tiffany Blackman and Lisa Salter, Sirius FM after a game, did an interview with ESPN Deportes post-game, where he ended up speaking Spanish at one point. He talked to Albert Breer. He did the Peter King podcast. He's done production meetings. He's had every TV crew. He's done one-on-one with the in-house content team. He does our press conferences. Yeah, I bet he's sick of talking about himself, because everybody wants to tell your story. And it's like, I don't know, man. I'm just a guy who's just kind of really like, he's the most normal dude. I mean, imagine if this happened to any of us that are just normal people, that nobody cares what we think about everything. And then he shows up at a food drive and people want to know what he thinks about the food drive. And he's like, I don't have food drive thoughts. Like, I'm just here because I like it. And one of the cool Jake Browning things, he has been every single week going to this to a boys and girls club all year. He like knows the kids, they know him, and they thought that when he was the starter, like he'd stop coming. He's like, no, I'm still every week, still goes to the boys and girls club, still doing that. He's just like a normal dude doing the right stuff, except now he's like Jakey Spin Rate
Or downtown Jake Brown.
or downtown Jake Brown, or I saw Jake Breezy showed up the other day. I mean,
Well, and then you've got, then let's also add in the family shot. And
yes.
so now everybody knows about his family, his girlfriend, and now we're all writing about that. Like literally on Sunday night, I finished my analysis and then I saw the clip that the NFL Instagram made of the box on top, and then Jake talking about how Joe gave him the box. I wrote a story on that because I'm like,
Yep.
this is the type of stuff people love, is
Yeah.
like they love when they feel like they can relate to someone and the human interest moments. So it's just been fun, and it's breathed, like you said, it breathed life in it. But I also feel like it, I don't want to speak for you, but like gave me like a jolt for the second half of the Bengals season, because you get through reporting all of that on Joe Burrow, and as we mentioned at the top of this interview, like it's been a lot this year for the reporters in terms of just the need for information. And you get through Joe, the couple of days with Joe Burrow injury news, and then you're like, okay, now what? And then the first game didn't go great, so then you start saying, I don't know how many more games they're going to win. And then it's like you get Jake Brown just slinging it out there in Jacksonville. And I mean, how much fun was it to me, you, and James are watching the last the overtime period together down on like on the concourse level, and it's just been like it's been really fun. And like props to Jake Browning because he's an awesome story, and I really hope that he continues to play well and gets a chance to, you know, maybe compete for a starting job next year, which is not crazy to say.
Yeah. The one note on Jake is that the Bengals are in a great spot. He's an exclusive rights free agent next year. So all they do is make a veteran minimum qualifying offer to him, which is going to be nothing. And he is stuck. He's here. Like he's back here for 1 year at the vet minimum. They don't have to, but his payday is coming.
Right.
There's a month left and some tough defenses, but he has made himself so much money and he's got himself a professional contract next year for sure, which let's be honest, a couple weeks ago wasn't certain at all. So great for him. Great story. Great stuff there. One other thing you get from this is you get to talk to Jamar Chase about a new topic. And that's always, we talked to Jamar yesterday and you just never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And he's one of my favorite people I've talked to or what I've ever seen, specifically in these like group settings. You know, a lot of these guys are much better, as you know, one-on-one, like they'll be much more open and it's just they'll be more themselves. But when you get into the group and there's a bunch of us around, it's a little tighter, they're a little less. Not Jamar. Like he loves the group setting. He loves interacting with everybody and kind of running the show. Same thing yesterday where we get him trying to describe Joe Burrow and Jake Browning's personalities. And he's like, you know, Joe's like a suit and a tie. And Jake's like just a suit, no tie. And I'm like, it's just he just fires these things off. He loves it's just unbelievable. I'm going to cut up a little bit of Jamar from yesterday and I'll let you guys just listen to a few pieces of Jamar Chase with us yesterday.
You were like 21.5 on that one. You think you're like 11th fastest in the NFL? Were you surprised that Chase's GPS is faster than that?
Nah. I haven't. My only chance was, you're talking about the Kansas City one, right?
No, I'm talking about the Arizona, the long bomb. You were like
yeah. What did I run on KC?
Years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I only know
that was probably
yeah, that was fast.
Yeah, I had more room there. But then again, I was just straight line speeding. I don't know, maybe I'm slow, man.
Have you ever crossed Cena your numbers over 22?
I'm slow right now. I'm not going to lie.
Have you ever
at 22 one time?
Your practice number's gone over 22?
Hell nah.
No.
Hell no.
No, you're not going that fast in practice.
But you know how fast that is?
I don't know.
22 at practice?
I don't know. Maybe you were getting after it one day.
I'm taking the next rip off. That shit moving at practice.
What do you think? There's been a lot of talk. You know, you talked about early in the year about your contract situation and what it's going to do next year. How much have you kept tabs on what's going on with Justin? In fact, he hasn't gotten his deal done yet.
I don't know. How much he asking for?
I don't know. You might know better than us.
No, I'm sure y'all know before I do. I don't know.
I mean, have you thought about how much that might impact what your contract extension might look like or when that might happen and all that?
I'm not talking nothing about no contract yet, man. I don't know nothing was going to happen yet until he – I need to see some more numbers from him. Tyreek Hill got us there, but he's going to get me there too.
Where do you and Justin rank in the wide receiver hierarchy here in the NFL?
Me and him?
Yeah.
About the 1 and 2.
1 and 2. Who's one?
Me. Y'all funny, man.
What makes his game so good? What is it?
Man, he's so quick. He's so quick and explosive, man. And you watch film and he makes it look so easy. You know what I'm saying? We probably can do the same move, but just because he is twitchier and more explosive sometimes on some routes, he just has that look in his routes that he just makes defenders fly.
It was unfair for you guys to be together in college. Like, do you guys look back on that and say, this is unfair? Why had to go do this against Vanderbilt? You know what I mean? Like, that's not fair.
I tell you what, we made our job easier for each other.
Yeah. So. Did he open things up for you there?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
I did for him too.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're in the right place.
Did 7-Eleven ever reach out to you? You're talking about commercials, right? Like 5 weeks ago, we were talking about 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they reached out to me. Yeah.
Do you have anything in the
Do I have a commercial?
It's coming.
Oh no, I'm trying to get slippery here. Somebody back home just said they got a 7-Eleven getting built on there. So maybe I did that. I don't know. I know. We've never had a 7-Eleven in New Orleans, so if that's the case, so I had to have a little bitty pinky toe in that.
Where are you at in the Slurpee?
Where am I on it? I don't know, but I might need to call them again and ask for it. So 7-Eleven, if y'all see this Slurpee machine, please.
I just had Jonah describe the differences in personalities between Joe and Jake. Can you do that?
What did he say first? Because I think it's a difference.
Joe's flashier. They're both confident.
Flashier.
Like sunglasses. But you know Joe better than most.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't just say that because that's two different tax brackets. That's why you can't even say that. Personality-wise, though, Jake's more playful than Burrow, if I can say that. Jake's going to smile with you, like, on a regular. Joe's going to just walk past you and look at you and then keep going. Like, he's just not going to smile all the time. Joe's just more tunnel vision than Jake. You know what I'm saying? If I could describe the difference, I would say Joe comes to work in a suit and a tie. Jake comes to work in a suit with no tie.
Kelsey, how much fun is just interacting with Jamar on a weekly basis at this point? I mean, he's taken on a life of his own this year, I feel like.
Well, and it's so organic. Like, it's not, he's not trying to be Mr. Funny Guy, and he's not trying to be. Like, that's just his personality. And I mean, I've said it to you guys, like every year the media votes on like our media good guy award that we give to someone who's just been like really good with working with us and always giving us time. And I'm voting for Jamar this year because win or lose, if he has one or two catches, he has always made himself available and he's had fun with it. And he now knows like it's a part of what he, you know, what he knows he's going to have to do. And it's worked for both sides because we know as the media, like we're going to get him. He knows he has to do it. Like you go up to him and on a short week and you say, what day is your day to talk? And he'll tell you, and you don't have to play that whole game. Well, is he going to show up at his locker? Or like the Bengals and the fans and the media, like it is a blessing that their star receiver doesn't have any shades of diva in him and is just like, he's like a joy to cover. And it's fun. It's like right now between Jake Browning and Jamar Chase, like it's fun to cover the Bengals.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And I just, the Jamar laugh, I mean, you hear it in there a couple of times. It's just, that's natural. It's not, he's like cracking himself up. I mean, yes, y'all got some good ones, good jokes today. You know, it's like, he's just, and quite honestly, you just don't get that all that often, as I mentioned, you know, especially in more of those group settings where people are able to just kind of, but he's been a star for a while and he's just very comfortable in his own skin. And it's all that much more fun to listen to. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in my conversation with Matt Collar, Purple Insider in Minnesota, and learn a little bit more about the Vikings. And we'll kind of take a little bit more of a stroll into this Bengals-Vikings game here on the flip side of that with Kelsey. So here's my conversation with Matt Collar, Purple Insider.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, now moving on and diving into the Minnesota Vikings, we go to Minnesota and talk to a friend of the program, Matt Collar, the Purple Insider. What's going on, Matt?
Oh, you know, just another game, another quarterback starting for the Minnesota Vikings. That has been the way things are. Oh, and, you know, the season is hinging on the line and everything, you know, the usual stuff. It's actually been quite weird up here because Kirk Cousins was always the starting quarterback from 2018 until week 8 of 2023. He missed one game due to anything other than, you know, sitting out when they're sitting starters because they're in the playoffs in 2019. And that was due to illness. It wasn't even due to injury. And now we have Jaren Hall get hurt, Josh Dobbs be magical and then benched, and hello, Nick Mullins season. So off we go.
Yeah, I mean, this year in this league has been, they're always weird, but this one has felt particularly goofy. And now, I mean, of all storylines, you know, the return of Jake Browning into the lives of the Minnesota Vikings, who, you know, was cut three times by the Vikings and befriended Kirk Cousins in the process, has talked about that this week. And now all of a sudden become an unbelievable storyline in Cincinnati. What is the memories of Jake Browning's time in Minnesota with the Vikings?
Oh, there's an athletic long form in the one big Jake Browning story. So the most memorable moment by far for Jake Browning was a night practice, which doesn't sound like it should be, but Kirk Cousins was a close COVID contact to Kellen Mond, who got COVID, which left Jake Browning as the only quarterback for the team's huge preseason event, which is to have their night practice. All the fans show up, it's under the lights, and this practice meant a lot to Mike Zimmer. So Mike Zimmer was extremely angry in his press conference before that Kirk Cousins had allowed himself to be a close contact. And this led to several extremely memorable quotes, including Jake Browning is smart, he's vaccinated, which we all still quote sometimes in the media room. And when Jake was going off, all of us were texting each other, Jake smart. So that, you know, but the thing is, on that night, he had to take every practice rep, and I'm sure you've never seen this before because I haven't. A quarterback in a practice taking every rep, which means every warm-up pass, first team, second team, third team, same quarterback the whole time. And he actually was really good that night. And I would have to ask other people to make sure that I have this right. I think they raised him up on their shoulders at the end. Like, that it was such a, like, I don't know. It was a weird moment because the fans really enjoyed it. He hit some deep passes. He made some great plays. They had an excellent, like, really fun practice, and he did a great job. And, like, everyone was super pumped about how well Jake Browning did. And then they played a preseason game a few days later, and I think his first pass was intercepted by Patrick Surtain. And it was like, oh, okay, so maybe this won't go anywhere. But I think what we knew about Jake Browning was that he was very, very football smart, and maybe smart otherwise as well, and that he understood the offense. So he understood where the ball was supposed to go. The one question was, does he have a strong enough arm to get it there? Because, I mean, look at his size, look at his strength. Like, he doesn't stand out to you. And I think that's the only reason that they ever moved on from him and brought in other backups, because they thought, as well as this guy can execute and practice and knows the offense, can he rocket the ball in there? And the answer, you know, at that time was no. And I still don't think he's throwing laser beams out there, but that intelligence, that ability to execute, it looks like the night practice. I mean, he really has done a great job with it so far in, you know, going back and watching the games.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe Vikings fans will see another Jake Browning up on the shoulders if they can find a way to win and put points up against this Minnesota defense that's been so good over the last couple of months. What has happened? What has been the key? You know, Brian Flores, a lot has been discussed about, you know, he's bringing blitzes, he's dropping eights, it's looking the same the whole time. What has been the key that they have made so many teams look so bad offensively?
It's two things. It is development and deception. They have found a way to develop some players really quickly into legitimate playmakers. And that starts with Ivan Pace Jr., their undrafted free agent, who was defensive player of the week last week in the shutout win over the Raiders. And boy, did he deserve it. I mean, this is a guy that is the shortest linebacker in the league. I'm sure that's why the entire league passed over him. But Brian Flores identified early in training camp, not being concerned about the draft status, that this guy was a playmaker. And not only that, but he could also handle a ton of information. And from the time they got him in training camp, it started to implement him. It was like a little bit of reps and then more reps and then more reps. And now with Jordan Hicks out, he's had to take on the green dot duties, which for an undrafted free agent linebacker is unbelievable. And he's the number one PFF graded linebacker for rookies. And I could go on and on about how good this guy has been, but to see him be brought along that way, they identified what they had in him. They got him in there over a guy who was actually drafted higher than him in Brian Asamoah. And that did not matter to Brian Flores. And so he's become a huge playmaker for them. Josh Metellus is another guy that has become this hybrid that I thought didn't actually exist. And we only just talked about it. But Josh Metellus is playing everywhere. He was a special teamer up until last year. And now he's playing safety, linebacker, on the defensive line. He's blitzing from everywhere. He's covering. He's tackling. He's like on every play. He's causing turnovers. It's really remarkable. He's sort of become like what Kyle Hamilton is in Baltimore, except for one of them was a career special teamer and the other was a first round draft pick. And so there's like, we've seen this across the board. I could go through all the players and their sort of development under Brian Flores. And I think his scouting background has mattered a lot to identifying their talents. But then there's the deception part. When you look at almost every play, there is some form of change after the snap for what it looked like pre-snap. So the interception to end the game against the Raiders is a great example. Ivan Pace lines up on Aiden O'Connell's right. So he identifies him like, oh, okay, he's over there on the right side. He's probably going to drop back into a deep zone or something. He ends up intercepting the ball from the wide receiver lined up on the far left of the field because he runs all the way back across the field underneath that route and picks it off. And there's tons of simulated pressures. It's not just Flores sending the blitzes all the time, but you never know who's coming, who's dropping back, whether, you know, what type of coverage they're going to be in. There was a play last week where they ran like an old school Tampa 2 that looked like, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks from 2003, where Ivan Pace is running 20 yards down the field, but he covers a tackle going or a tight end going down the seam. And Aiden O'Connell has no idea what to do and gets sacked. I mean, it's just every play is fun to watch on tape because you're figuring out, well, where did that come from? How did that guy even get there? And I think that it's put inexperienced quarterbacks' heads in a blender. The only thing I would say, though, is if we're being fair, look at the quarterbacks that they've played since the beginning of the season. It's a little hard to find too many good ones. Now, Jake Browning, I guess we'll see what he could do against it. But that's been it's been a factor that, you know, you're talking about, you know, Aiden O'Connell getting shut out. If they play Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe he gets 6 points. I don't know. But it has been incredibly impressive to see this group that is not laden with stars be schemed and developed their way to being a top five defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. It's funny. Flores was in Pittsburgh last year, and this has a bit of a AFC North feel to it with all the moving parts, the deception, the potential, you know, the different types of zones and blitzes that you're seeing them throw their way. And you absolutely can understand how that can be trouble. And it'll be, it's really a fascinating pivot point in the Browning story, because I think, you know, the Jags and the Colts are fine defensively, but they're fine defensively. You know, they're not going to be a top tier. What the Steelers in his first start gave him trouble. Will Minnesota be able to do that? Or has Browning really kind of evolved and have so much comfort and they've built things around him that even a Minnesota defense that has given everybody fits this year could be one that they can put point. And if that's the case, I think the Bengals start to look at the rest of their season and say, man, Maybe this can be a thing where we can get into the playoffs and make a run. And for Minnesota, it's so crazy, despite four quarterbacks, all this other stuff that's gone on, Justin Jefferson missing the vast majority of the year. You're sitting there, hey, 2-7-6 teams thinking about the playoffs playing right here. No Burrow and all the things that have happened. It's wild. It's wild to be saying that.
Yeah, it is. And that's I'm sure you have this problem too, because there's also a part of me that says, and they could actually be so much better. I mean, the funny thing about this season is that if you're 7-6 and you lost your quarterback for half the year, I mean, everyone is going to be like, oh, wow. I mean, that's amazing. But they lost by 2 points against the Chicago Bears, a game that they were winning with 1 minute left to go. They lost by 1 point to the Denver Broncos, a game that they were winning with less than a minute to go. And they fumbled away games earlier. They dropped a pass in the end zone to lose to the Los Angeles Chargers. And so you can't help but think, like, and I just wrote a column about this today of like, what's a success? And like, should you be happy if they make the playoffs? Should you still look at it like, man, this could have been so much better? And you think about, had they not fumbled away the early part of the season to start 1-4, and then had Kirk Cousins not gotten hurt, we might be talking about the Vikings right there with the Dallas Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers, considering what their defense has done and what they probably would have continued to do with Kirk Cousins offensively. But, you know, ifs and buts in football, I guess they always make it interesting. But this season could be looked at through a lot of different lenses. Like, wow, you persevered through all that stuff. And man, this should have been actually a better season, but you got robbed from it, from a couple of close games, but also especially losing your quarterback. Or maybe not if Nick Mullins is the next Trent Dilfer or something, but probably not. I looked this up. The last quarterback to actually reach the Super Bowl when they had as a backup had to start more than five games. So not the Nick Foles situation where he comes in after the other guy has gotten them home field advantage. It was Tom Brady. Like, so it really doesn't happen. And sorry if your fan base was thinking that Jake Browning is going to take you to the Super Bowl, but I think at the end of the day, we'll probably look at the season as not even remembering all the quarterbacks got hurt because all the great teams still have their quarterbacks.
Yeah. Unless they suddenly become a great quarterback, Tom Brady, Brock Purdy, I guess it would be, everyone wants to think, well, maybe he's Brock Purdy. These are like once every generation things that happen. Okay. Don't go counting on it. That said, the Bengals and Vikings are interesting, which a lot of people probably didn't think they would be when their quarterbacks went down. And I think it's going to be a fun game. Weird feels inevitable in this game. Like, it just, when you look at all the background of these two teams and playing Saturday at 1, and I mean, we have the history of Brian Flores and Zach Taylor from Miami when Brian Flores charged across the field at him during a brawl. There's just all of this background feels to be coming into a weird time slot. I'm thinking weird. What are your, do you have a prediction for this weekend?
I'm glad you reminded me that it's at 1. I'm not used to Eastern time. I would have showed up at the stadium like way early for this game. prediction is a really tough one because I do think the Cincinnati offense is a lot harder than some of the offenses that the Vikings have dominated recently, and that they will be able to put up points. Jefferson is going to be 100% healthy, according to him. He's just got a couple of internal organs bruised, no big deal. So just head right back on out there.
Yep.
This is, it feels like a game where both teams are moving the ball, but it's not like a laser show. So I would go like 20-17 somebody. I mean, I don't know who. I tend to lean Cincinnati, honestly, because they're at home. And I do think that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is going to give them some problems that, you know, they haven't seen in recent weeks. But yeah, I would lean slight edge Cincinnati. But this one, I don't know. Anytime you got backups, I'm not sure.
We talked to Ja'Marr Chase yesterday, and of course, a topic is him and Justin Jefferson and each other's contracts affecting each other. Before I let you go, what's the feel on the Jefferson contract? Ja'Marr says, I don't know. You guys will know before me. Whatever it is, I got to hear some more numbers from him, but I know Tyreek got us up there and he's going to get me some numbers too. So Ja'Marr says he knows it's coming because it's the bar for what's going to happen for Chase. What's the feel on that? Is that coming soon, or is it sort of interesting that it's made it this far?
So yeah, that's, it seems to be like a little bit of, because they weren't negotiating, it became a big story that they didn't get it done. But when you look back, how many times does a non-quarterback position get the deal done before they hit their fifth year, or their offseason before their fifth year? I mean, 99% of the time, if a first round pick is signing that deal, it's right before the fifth year. It's just that Jefferson is so special that they started going down that road. And I think that everybody kind of knows the deal here with first round picks, that if you don't sign a contract, they are going to franchise tag you. They're going to franchise tag you again. I mean, we're talking about, is it 2026 or 20 after 2025 would be the first chance. I think it actually is 2026. If he really wanted to play this whole thing out, if you're a receiver, even if you don't love where you're at, you sign that contract and then you force your way out is what you should do. If you're unhappy, I have all the confidence that Justin Jefferson this offseason is going to sign the biggest contract in NFL history for a wide receiver. The owner of the Vikings even talked about this last year during the summer and said, like, we're going to be involved. Like, we want Jefferson here. This is going to happen. Every single time it comes up, it's like they've sort of been instructed to make sure that they call him the best receiver in the world or whatever. Like, every single time, it's just like, what do you think of Justin's chances this week? Well, we're getting back the best receiver in the world. Sign the contract, Justin, please. He's gonna sign the contract. It just wouldn't make any sense to try to fight it out. There's so much guaranteed money that will come his way almost instantly. It's just the one thing that I think could be a debate is the length. If I'm Jefferson, I might want like a 3-year contract and hit the lottery many times, as opposed to a 5-year contract that gives them more flexibility and maybe hit the lottery once or twice in my career. So yeah, that could be a debate, but I think it gets done.
Maybe we'll, whenever that happens, in the background, you'll see Ja'Marr Chase hanging out there waiting for a copy of it to go into his hands so he can hand it directly to Bengals ownership and say, whatever plus one, please. And it just seems like the two of these guys that did so much, you know, with Burrow to help each other at LSU will kind of just continue to help each other out, which is just kind of the way it has gone. It should be fascinating. I hope both guys put up huge numbers and we can get something fun out of this weekend, and it's going to be great. But Matt, look forward to seeing you here in Cincinnati, and thanks for joining and offering the insight.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what I won't be doing there is eating the Skyline chili at halftime in the press box. Yeah. I'm just
it's fine. Nobody has, everybody understands, you know, it's something where if you're not from here, I have no problem with anybody that thinks, looks at that and says, I'm not doing it, or eats it and says, this is disgusting. Because it's actually, when you eat it when you're young, it creates some sort of like, almost like a force field inside of you. And it's kind of like getting addicted to cigarettes when you're 4, you know, like you just have to have it. But people that didn't smoke when they were 5, like, I get it. Like, you don't want to start now. So it totally makes sense. Totally. So don't worry. There's plenty of other, there's many other options that we can turn you on to here. So
I appreciate that. When I was in the press box in 2021 for that game, Vikings and Bengals, a couple of reporters went for it at halftime, and they had some stomach gurgling there by the third
quarter.
You'll
pay the price. So if you're not prepared, you'll pay the price. There's no question.
I'm looking forward to it, though, man. I love Cincinnati.
We'll be great. Thanks, Matt.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, much thanks to Matt for catching up on inside of a fascinating Vikings team, which is just, talk about, you never know what to expect in a season. I mean, they're kind of cooking with Kirk Cousins, and their defense was bad. Then their defense got great, and Kirk Cousins gets hurt, and they had the Josh Dobbs thing where all of a sudden he wins NFC Player of the Week, and he on like 5 days. And now their offense can't, they win a 3-0 game in Vegas. I just find, you know, the NFL so freaking weird anymore. I mean, everybody finds some crazy path to 9-8, except for, you know, a select few, and the Vikings are kind of a great, I expect this to be a weird game. I'm feeling weird game this weekend for sure.
I mean, doesn't all signs point to it just being like absolutely bonkers? Like, I just feel like at some point, like maybe like a blocked punt is going to happen for a touchdown. I don't know. Like, it's giving weird vibes for sure.
Well, yeah, let's hope there's no more coaches charging at each other. But I'll say this. There's Lou Anarumo talking about chicken cutlets. If you want a foreshadowing, it's going to be a weird week. We got maybe what? 5 to 10 minutes if you count the different times he had to stop and take calls from his sister about the chicken cutlets and the videos of the tailgate from the last time they were in New York that came up. And I was like, this is, if anything, it's foreshadowing that this is going to be a weird weekend and a weird game and a weird week. It's that we have this much Lou Anarumo bragging about his family's chicken cutlets.
That was the highlight of my week. That 10 minutes with Lou talking about chicken cutlets, his New York spread. I mean, it was awesome. And I hope the Anarumo family invites the entire Bengals media group to do our pregame meal out at the tailgate. I mean, I'm not going to let Lou Anarumo forget about that. So next year when they get ready to play the Giants at MetLife for a couple of weeks before, I think we should all, when he comes to meet with us, if he's still here, say, can we get passes?
Let us know where the tailgate is. I'll walk however far I need to walk. Okay. To get to that spread, which was amazing. It was like, he said it was for like 150 or 200 people or something like that. I mean, it looked like, you know, the standard banquet table that everyone buys and sets up inside of their house. It looked like there was maybe 20 of those just filled with things like with cutlets and meats and cheeses. Oh, it looked awesome.
How about this? This is how much I'm thinking about it. Last night, my dad texted me and was like, so it's just going to be the five of us on Christmas Eve dinner. We usually go out to dinner. He's like, where do you want to go? And I'm like, somewhere where I can get chicken parm.
You're feeling it now. You're feeling it. My You're in the zone. I've
been thinking about chicken cutlets all week.
I kind of want to like make some. I'm in charge of dinner at the house tonight. I think I might get the chicken breasts out and I might get the mallet out. You got to pound them down.
He said his sister uses a hammer.
A hammer, yeah. I'll go open the toolbox. I'll go hammer if I got to. I'll get the sledge out if that's what we got to do.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah. Maybe that's the move tonight. But seriously, on the Lou Anarumo conversation, are you a believer that Lou's crew has turned it around after the Colts game, or was that a 1 week outlier to what they've been?
I think it's a 1 week outlier. I know that's not music to Bengals fans' ears, but I just think when you look at the full sample size of the season, more often than not, they've been the group that's come up short and disappointed in areas that you thought they'd be really good. I think the Colts game was a step in the right direction, but that's kind of how it's been this season. It's like every time you feel like the Bengals defense has gotten their swagger back, then the Houston Texans game happens and they allow the most explosive plays that, you know, they have all year. And so I just think that they played well against the Colts, but I also don't think the Colts played well on offense. And I think the run defense, right? Like Minnesota's you can argue two of the biggest issues for the Bengals defense have been how they've played against tight ends. I mean, look no further than how they weren't able to defend Pat Freiermuth against the Steelers. And then Minnesota likes to run the ball and they're good at it. So I don't know. I just think that I wouldn't get my hopes up that it's going to be this different defense down the stretch. But a lot of it is like the Bengals defense is never built to be this crazy, we only allow 10 points type of, they've always been like an extra element of the offense, the extension of the offense. So if the offense can keep clicking, there's less pressure on the defense, which with the kind of issues they've had this year, I feel like that's the recipe for success.
Inevitably. When Burrow went down, this was going to be about, can Lou Anarumo's crew carry this team? How far And at that time in particular, you didn't think, well, I don't know if they could carry him across the street. You know, I mean, they've been the liability this year for the most part.
Ask Richard Leonard of Local 12 what he thinks about the Bengals defense.
It's all been warranted. Like, I don't think there's any situation where you're sitting here saying, oh yeah, this Bengals defense, you can really see them. They're great again. It's not necessarily been the case. The explosive plays thing I do want to bring up, because there's a chart. I tweeted this out yesterday, and I believe it's a PFF chart or the stats are from NFL Reader, but it has explosive plays being rushes of more than 10 yards, passes of more than 20 yards. And the Vikings have the best defense in terms of allowing explosive plays in the league, only 4.2 per game. Whereas the Bengals have the worst at 7.4. So when you think about that explosive play differential, I mean, the Bengals, but you like, okay, last week, just one explosive pass allowed. But again, the previous four, there were 23 explosive passes allowed. So like, again, they had one against Arizona too, and then they reverted. You've seen this back and forth all year where it's like, you just need to see a longer run of it. And here you get Nick Mullins and a team that scored 3 points last week and 10 the week prior. Okay, Lou, like, your people need to prove that this isn't an outlier and put a run together. And there's reason to believe the young secondary isn't so young anymore. You're starting to see a little more consistency, or at least he feels like it is. Chidobe Awuzie is at least seems healthier, and we're not just talking constantly about whether he can finish a game. And so all of that stuff, they're tightening up the run defense, certainly in recent weeks. That has come a long way, and good for them on that. But that said, I don't know that anybody can sit here and confidently say they've fixed things on the defensive side of the ball. It's still a TBD on that for me too.
Yeah, and it's been one of the most surprising things of the season that none of us would have expected would be just the inconsistency from the group. But that's why it's just so hard for me to predict that they can fully turn things around, because it just also feels like it's just always been – it's been one thing missing. And like you said, it's like there's not the excuse that this is not a young secondary anymore. It's been really hard to put your finger on why the Bengals have been so inconsistent on defense. And that's what Luann Arumo says, is that every week it's a different issue. So that's why I think we need multiple games of limited explosives, them being able to do a good job on a tight end, and then being able to stop the run at a better effort than they have. For me to be able to say, yeah, this defense has really figured some things out, because they've really changed a lot. People are just playing better. And I think you expected those players to play that way the whole season.
All right. Let's get to wrapping this thing up. I forgot the Bengals growler bet last week, and so I cannot forget it again, because you guys don't let me forget that, as I would expect you to hold me accountable to. So I'm going to start with Bengals growler bet. I got two this week, because I'm here to serve you, the people that demand it. I am starting with Jake Browning completion percentage. Obviously, he's been insane. Doesn't throw in completions over this three-game stretch. What will it be against this quality Minnesota defense? And then the second one is going to be Chase Brown yards from scrimmage. So who knows what that could be? Chase Brown has been ridiculous. But we don't know. Will that continue? We don't know. Jake Browning completion percentage, Chase Brown yards from scrimmage. These are your two Bengals growler bets. Hit me up, hashtag Bengals growler bet on Twitter, or pdaner@theathletic.com with your submissions. The word growler somewhere in the subject header, make me laugh, and you will get those read on the podcast next week, as you know. All right. Predictions, Kelsey Conway. Here we go. Bengals Vikings this weekend. Who you got and why?
I am going to – this is the first time I'm giving this prediction, so I got to think about it a little bit. I'm going to go with 17-10 Bengals.
Okay.
And I'm with you that something weird happens
whether it be a blocked punt or just something that we're going to be looking at each other in the press row and be like, I can't believe that just happened. As we said, like it's going to be a weird game, but I don't think Minnesota's going to be able to score enough. And I think they'll make it hard on Jake Browning. I'm fully anticipating him to have at least one interception or something with how much Brian Flores, Zach Taylor's best friend, likes to pressure. So I think it's not going to be Jake Browning's best game, but I think he'll do enough. And they figured some things out on offense that they'll be able to score at least 17 points.
So before I give my prediction, we normally have a segment here called Arby's, which is just any related Bengals inside extras and stories. Shout out Jay Morrison. And so I got to say, normally it's some weird story that's funny, and we have a million of them from this season, but I think the one that we're currently in is a pretty good one as well, because full disclosure, as we were talking about explosive plays and I was giving you that list, Kelsey's computer just like did one of those software updates out of nowhere. Like you, anybody that's ever had a job or worked remotely ever knows this. It always happens and you never know when it's going to happen. And so you are currently, you're not just off the computer. You are in my man, Sam Green's car right now. Bengals photographer extraordinaire. What up, Sam? How we doing, brother?
Hold on. I'll take it.
It's okay. He can't, hear. That's all right. He doesn't need to hear. Sam doesn't need to hear me.
Oh, hey, what's up, everybody?
I've been wanting to have Sam on the podcast anyway. And so it's good to have Sam. I hope you check out the photos of the year are up on Cincinnati.com of Sam, Kareem Alexar, Kara Owsley, Albert Caesar. Everybody's got all of their photos up. Incredible work. Some of you are probably wearing a shirt that has Amir Garrett punching a million pirates. Well, Sam took that photo, and I hope that you should go stop by his house and drop $5 off to him for that. Just so
you know. He's pretty legendary. We're very lucky to have him.
There's no question about that. So I appreciate that. Kelsey is here sacrificing as we try to finish up the podcast for you. That's the kind of effort that you get here.
I feel like I fumbled the ball on the 1 yard line and feel like I have to get it back for you now.
No, this is like, but you scooped it up, you know, and you are running into the end zone here, making sure that we get the game winner. My prediction, though, I'm with you. Weird games. Silly game, something insane happens. An unorthodox touchdown for sure, whether it's a return, whether it's a interception or a fumble or something weird is going to happen. If Jake Browning doesn't throw an interception, I think the Bengals win this game. Since week 6, the Vikings are 6-0 and they have an interception, 0-2 without one. Their defense has been unbelievable at getting sacks, getting turnovers. So if they don't do that, and Jake Browning takes care of it, I think the Bengals win. I have Bengals winning 16-13, thanks to something stupid. Maybe even another Evan McPherson walk-off against the Vikings at Paycor Stadium, just like it was a few years ago in the 2021 opener. Kelsey, Sam, thank you for joining and hanging in there to the end. It has been an absolute pleasure. Y'all are crushing it as always over there. So please keep doing that for me, and we will talk to everybody on the walkout Saturday evening. Have a good one, everyone.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.